Is debt beating you down? You need discipline. You need the Debt Ninja. If you've been caught in a financial trap and need to be set free, then you need the Debt Ninja. Want to stop those harassing collection calls, start saving thousands in interest and fees, and get out of debt fast? Then you need to call the Debt Ninja. The Debt Ninja will find the best companies across the country that will help you consolidate all your bills into one easy payment, reduce your payments by 30 to 50%, and get you out of debt fast. If you have unsecured debt of $10,000 or more, such as credit cards, loans, or medical bills, call the Debt Ninja for a free 15-minute consultation.
Call 800-839-5518. 800-839-5518. That's 800-839-5518. Call today.
The Debt Ninja.
You're listening to Radio Influence.
Let me tell you why you're here.
You have 210 stories.
What truth?
Office buildings.
We just witnessed some kind of...
You don't find a desk.
Secondary.
You don't find a chair.
Follow-up explosion on the World Trade Center.
You don't find a telephone.
Some kind of explosion. A lot of smoke come out of the top.
110 stories high. They are no longer there.
The building collapsed to dust.
To dust. To dust. To dust. To dust. To dust.
This is your last chance.
I would ask.
After this, there is no turning back.
Once all the facts are out.
You take the blue pill.
For your understanding.
The story ends.
And for your forgiveness.
You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want.
Media is the...
You take the red
nervous
pill.
System of a democracy.
You stay in Wonderland.
If it's not functioning well, the democracy can't function.
And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
The democracy can't function.
The red pill.
Take the red pill.
You have to let it all go.
Take the red pill.
Fear.
9/11truth.org.
Doubt.
WhatReallyHappened.com.
You just believe.
WTC7.net.
Free your mind.
Take the red pill.
I'm like staring into this mic. Realizing how much I missed it. I still miss doing the podcast. I do. That's always a good sign. And I haven't done it in, what, 3 weeks? Yeah. It's been almost a full month. Numbers are good over there at Radio Influence, though. It's good to see. We get to all that. I got so much to talk about tonight. And, you know, I believe in being honest with you. Sometimes I record this show, and it's not live. Other times, still working on some nice live concepts to take the show on the road. And I got a real good one that I'm working on. But, you know, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag on that yet. It's probably 6 months away. I wish it were closer, but it's not. I want to talk about some terrestrial things I might be doing. Man, I got a lot to get to. A lot to get to. But it's great to be back, man. It's like every time you get into the habit of doing anything on a regular basis. Hang on a second. Let's see what my levels are. Hello, levels. I need to be able to shout a little. Hello. That's better. And, already opened this guy. Just be sipping it here and there. Welcome to Dangerous Conversation right here at RadioInfluence.com. And it's my hashtag. I don't want anyone to feel like you have to use it, but if, you know, like a small handful of you have, and I just keep saying best election ever. Like, you know, someone from Boston, this is the best election ever. Wicked pisser. Yeah. So that's my hashtag. Because the WWE has come to Washington. It's amazing. They don't talk about anything. It's every day a new more information drops from WikiLeaks or somebody else, and it is a great time to be alive and doing radio. Because, you know, when things are good and everyone's making money, like in the 90s when people were, 80s too, man, people were partying their ass off in the 80s and having a good time. And a lot of people were not going without, like we have now, you know, 40% people at or below the poverty line. So, you know, not to make joke of that, because you know me, I wouldn't do that. But when things were good, we didn't give a fuck who was doing, we didn't care. We didn't care about the dirt. We knew they were all scumbags, but you know what? You had, you know, car payment and a mortgage. Maybe you just worked. Maybe you and a wife or husband worked, and your kids maybe contributed here and there a little bit, but you weren't under a ton of pressure. You had a little bit of a savings put away or a pension or a 401k, and life was good. I was that guy. I had the 3-2 with the pool. I had almost, what, 50K in my 401K just before the shit hits the fan. But you know what? I was talking to somebody about this yesterday, and they said, what do you think about everything that's going on? I go, a lot more people are paying attention. That is the bottom line. And I think 2008 was the wake-up call. It was a cold reality to many people to watch banks get bailed out while they lost their house. You want to know in the pecking order of things? You want to know where you sit? Oh, yeah. The big bank that sold you the subprime mortgage is going to get bailed out. But you're losing your fucking house. Tell me that wasn't a wake-up call. See, those are things I call trigger elements. They are the mass event that makes a lot of people go, what, where, how? And suddenly they're on the internet on Google learning how they just got fucked. That was me, subprime. I was Mr. Subprime. Oh, yeah, man, I'm going to refinance. Boom. You can learn by your mistakes, but you better learn by them. If not, after a while, then you're just an idiot. But 08 was a big wake-up call for people. For me, 2004, the 9/11 rabbit hole that completely unraveled. Just like pulling that thread on a sweater. It's like, oh, my God. Keep looking into, oh, it was incompetence. It was a lack of imagination. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. It was part of a plan. And it wasn't 19 guys living in caves who come to America, do a lot of blow, and hang out with strippers. Yeah, they're gonna commit religious jihad because they're so like tight with God. Oh yeah, while they're doing blow off some stripper's ass. Praise Allah. Fuck you and that stupid original story. How stupid do you think we are? So we all have our wake up moment. And it is accelerating because of social media. A lot of people don't like social media. I love it. I love it. I get to see the far left and the far right and the crazies. And I get to see the hardcore religious people. I get to see the spiritual people. I get to see laid back people. I get to see incredibly driven people along the side of, and I want to use this as my new phrase. It's not mine, but I'm going to use it now from this point forward. Conspiracy analyst. You're not a conspiracy theorist. You're analyzing a conspiracy. You're a conspiracy analyst. A lot of people call themselves that. That's what I am. You know why? Because guess what? Once you realize you've been lied to on a big, huge fucking story, it's not so difficult to go, oh, yeah, I bet I've been lied to before. Oh, geez. Oklahoma City, oh, 7/7 London bombings. And it doesn't take you a while after that to just say, okay. And now the human ego is going to steer you in one of two directions. What your friends are going to think, what your mom and dad are going to think, what your grandpa, vote Republican his whole life, is going to think when you go, I'm sorry, building 7, grandpa. And he goes, you're out of the will. He writes that you... And you're like, oh, fuck.
So, well, my point is,
we all always have some type of control mechanism around us that won't let us just stand up and go, it's fucking bullshit. It's always, you know, God, if I do, you know, same thing. Let's say you're gay and you need to come out or something. And you're worried about what your parents are thinking. There's always these, you know, ceilings or glass ceilings when it comes to awakenings. And that's really what, it's not what tonight's show is about, but it's when you have a couple of weeks to camp and hike and fish and get completely away from this amazing device, my laptop and my phone, I go back to my balance. I go back to a lot deeper thinking than just surface level politics or things like that. I sit underneath, you know, thousands of stars and see them really well because there's not an artificial light for 5 miles in any direction. And you center yourself. But not only did that happen, I got a chance to, of course, with my girlfriend Kelly and our two dogs, see my daughter, introduce my daughter to my girlfriend, vice versa, camp with my daughter, and find out I'm going to be a grandfather. I kept looking forward to the day that she would tell me that her and her husband, Wally, would want to have a kid. And I was like, hey, you know, I always, with my daughter, I just tell her, I got your back. Make your decisions. I got your back. Don't worry about things because I don't want you to ever choose anything because of what I think or what I don't think. You make your own choices, but I will defend your right to choose those things. So I would never talk to her about, oh, you know, because some parents literally do. You know, they're a little too aggressive. Oh, am I going to be a grandfather? You know what? My wife and her husband, when they want to have a kid, they'll have a kid. Well, they're going to have a kid in April. Same month I was born. Thank you very much. We were throwing around names around the campfire, and I was like, what's wrong with Scott? I kept saying it. Because Wally's like the fourth generation like of his family. It's all these Walters. I'm like, what's wrong with Scott? Come on, seriously. Give me just one reason. And they'd giggle, and I'd giggle. And I'm going to be a grandpa. You want to get centered? Sit under that big moon around that campfire and with your girlfriend and a couple of amazing dogs that just are another piece of your personality, and your daughter tells you you're going to be a grandfather. As a way to just settle the... What it does is it just settles the mind. It's like a relaxant. And you can come back into the things I talk about with, A, the zest to know more, hopefully pass on some info to you guys, definitely challenge you. But I got so much to talk about here. I really need to get into things because, you know, I did terrestrial radio since 1980, 81, 80. And I'm still doing it part-time for Beasley. I'm having a great time. They're super people over there, really enjoying the process. But during that 2.5 weeks and a conversation I had with somebody else, I don't know if my goal is to get back into terrestrial radio full time anymore. I don't really feel that pull. What I do feel is the pull to do a terrestrial show weekly, a specialty show, as we used to call them. And I feel really pulled towards the local scene here in the Tampa Bay area, and having been involved with a radio station that was so plugged into the scene and the bands and the clubs. And that means every generation, my generation, we can flash back and go back to the club scene in the 80s and 90s here in the Bay Area. And I'll also have some, be reaching out. This is what is going to be special about this show. It's going to be incredibly interactive. I'll be reaching out on Facebook and Twitter to pretty much everybody that lived here or lives here or worked here or did radio here or played in a band here. And I want to build this really interesting piece. I don't know what it's going to be called yet, but it's going to feature local acts once a week, hopefully. I'm sorry, once a month, hopefully we'll be on location at a gig listening to the band that we play locally, also on stage, because I'm a little picky about bands. Because anybody can do anything in a studio nowadays, but can you reproduce it live? That's why live music is so good. That's why working in rock radio for so long, realizing that, well, probably about 70% of the bands I played on the radio were actually just as good live, and some were fucking horrible. I'm like, holy shit, this guy can't sing for crap. You know, and on the record, he sounds great. Well, now I live in the world of auto-tune. So I'm going to be sitting down with a good group of guys, and I'm going to be coming up with a local, incredibly interactive show. It might be the thing where if you live in Sarasota, Bradenton, I know this is a worldwide podcast, but this is me locally talking about. I got so many things to talk about, and I got like a shit ton of video I want to get to. So this, just, you know what? I'm not all wired and shot out of a cannon. You noticed? Because normally I come screaming at you for the first 20, 25 minutes. I just feel like, you know what? This show's going to go a little while, and we are going to talk about a lot of things, but, first thing you got to know is, I love doing the show, and the show ain't going anywhere. It's cathartic for me. It's fucking therapy. A lot of you guys love the show. I love it too. So it's not going anywhere. In fact, I'll be sitting down with the guys at Radio Influence and talking about growing the audience and becoming a little bit more active on social media and doing those kind of things. We had a meeting the other day. I sat in on a show yesterday with Danger Blonde herself. You know, she's done radio here in this market for such a long time, Nancy Alexander. And we used to work in the same building over at the Death Star. And I had a chance to sit in on her podcast yesterday. I love being a number two. I love being a number two. I don't get me wrong. I love running my own show. I even talked about that on her podcast and building a crew and doing all those things I've done with this show when I had some of the resources. And we'll be getting back to that towards the end of the show. There's some things I can't talk about yet because there are sponsors involved. Okay, that's why I can't. But yeah, I've always enjoyed doing Danger's conversation. And there's a little piece of the old shows that I kind of miss being able to play or have played. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through the old archives of the old shows and maybe pull out a cool 5 minutes here and there, some great whistleblowers that are going to seem like Nostradamus now. When you have people on a show 3-4 years prior to them talking about what's going bad and no one believes them yet, and then suddenly you get 3-4 years later down the road, and on they go, oh, yeah, the NSA listens. Oh, yeah, well, you know, they denied that. Well, you know, guess what? They were a fucking lying. And those whistleblowers were on my show, some of them. Not all of them. I have an FBI whistleblower. Blew the whistle on 9/11. Sybil Edmonds, she's incredibly active now in media. So I think what I'm going to do with the local music show is about all I'm going to put in as far as energy into terrestrial radio, plus the weekend or the fill-in or, you know, guys that are on vacation, that kind of stuff. Just be a good bench man, and I feel that's where I got to go because I'm on the verge of a great gig in solar energy, just doing sales. You know me, and I love to talk about this stuff. And I know it like the back of my hand. Now it's just a question of sitting in your living room and discussing how I did it last night. So funny. I was talking to somebody. He goes, oh, yeah, really? Sell me solar energy right now. Ready? Go. I was like, are you ready? Oh, no, there's no way. There's no way. Well, our first offer to you is everything's free. You never spend a penny. All we do is put a solar array on your roof, and your electric bill goes down, and we get a piece of the extra electricity. We're basically just renting your roof. And he's like, really? I go, yeah. Oh, but there's more. I'm like Billy Mays without the blow. So, So I'm actually sitting there last night, and he's going, oh, man, really? I had no idea. And I go, yeah, financing. Or we could just out and out install it ourselves, and we'll sell you the electricity at a much cheaper rate. And by the way, yeah, it's all insured. If anything happens to your roof, we pick it up. Really? I had no idea. When's, you know, and people don't realize the potential involved. And this is why if you live in Florida and you listen to this podcast before next Tuesday, please vote no on one. That is a con from what we used to call Con Ed in the Northeast when I lived up in that area. Con Ed. Okay? Down here, what are they this week? Duke Energy? They're always being bought up. Same thing. Energy companies are like banks. They all, oil companies, they all consolidate. Bad thing, consolidation. Bad thing. Creates monopolies. Creates people that don't want you to have a choice. For example, part of that amendment would have basically put the nicks on what's called net metering. If your house produces 5 kilowatts of electricity on a Monday, and your house only uses 2 kilowatts of electricity that day, you have an extra 3 kilowatts. That's about 10 cents a kilowatt, by the way, right now. You could sell that back to the electric company. That's called net metering. They don't want that. Because what does net metering create? It creates thousands and thousands and thousands of independent energy producers, and there goes your fucking monopoly. Poof! Right in the air. And by the way, the extra fuck you to them is we're going to use their grid. That's how pissed they are. They own all the nuclear power stations and the coal stations and, of course, the oil and natural gas. We have a natural gas power plant not too far from my house. There's a nuclear one that's a clusterfuck a couple hours north of me. And when they're producing 100% of the electricity in the area, that's a monopoly. But when you and me and 100,000 other homes decide we're going to do, completely derails their monopoly. So they're passing or trying to pass a legislation that sounds all warm and fuzzy about making solar available. They mean if they bring it to you under their circumstances. They're panicking. This is what happens. This is why it's a great time to be alive when you watch religion having to constantly now take onslaughts of good, honest-to-goodness questions from science. Or watching politicians' true identities exposed because someone has the nads to release what should already be public and transparent information. Transparency in government is a little bit of a Pollyanna. I get it. But you know what? The more the merrier. And that's really what the Clinton email scandal is about. Who is she? What's she really up to? What is she trying to hide? She's not the only one, of course. They're all fucking crooked. And now they're getting to be like the rats on the Titanic. And I think this is why I want to start with this piece tonight. From Gary Franchi. It's kind of neat. He's driving around. He's wearing fatigues. I'm like, wow, is he just like running a drill? Gary's an independent news producer. I like his stuff. I've never contacted him. I've never had him on my show. He's never been on my show. That kind of thing. But, you know, I always look for lots of different directions. And Gary's a, you know, he's a Trump guy. As you listen to this, you're going to realize that. But what he talks about, what is unraveling with this Clinton fiasco, I think he nails it. And he knows the characters really well. And I think it's time we actually do some content on my program instead of talking about yourself all fucking day. See, that's the little program director that lives in the back of my head who still won't leave, even though it's my fucking podcast. Dude, you just spent 22.7 minutes speaking about yourself. Research shows that 15.5 is the threshold. I know, I'm busting on some people I love and very much, but There's always a consultant. Always. It doesn't matter if you're installing bathroom tile. Someone's an expert. Ah! All right. I had to say that. You know why? Okay. I'm on somebody's podcast yesterday, and I'm just loving being a number two. You know what a number two is? I don't fucking care what the host is talking about. I'm just going to interject funny shit. And I'm not, I don't even know if she's talking right now, because right now I'm doing a funny voice. Getting to be the number two yesterday was a blast. It's like you're the kid with the football. Even though the host is asking me questions, and she was great. I love Nancy. We had a blast. Believe me, it was a great podcast. But half the time I was like going into it. I had to wear a headset mic, which got like the broadcasters use during sports. So I kept feeling like I was going to, hey, top of the second. There are two runners on, game seven, Cubs and the Tribesmen going at it. It felt like that yesterday. It was a blast. I want to be a number two on someone's show once a week. And they can lead the conversation. They can be the band leader, and I'm just going to go with my trumpet. Like, whoop. Oh, sorry. You were saying? I want to be that guy for a while. It's fun. Yesterday, Nancy would ask me a question. I'd go off on a tangent, and I'd look back, and I'd see, oh, I can, you know, I'm like completely locked into what I'm saying. And she's talking. I'm looking like, oh, she's talking. Well, anyway, that's what a number two gets to do. It's awesome. Everybody, every market has the shows with, you know, crews. I'm not going to sit there and name them, but everybody knows who the number twos are. And most of the time, they have the most fun. So I want to be a number two. You can turn that into a drop-in. Ledge wants to be a number two. All right, we got some stuff to get to. We are going to talk about the marijuana vote in the United States of America. I got cool 1, 2, 3 little 3-minute videos. We'll be hitting on those. Okay. Also, I do want to talk some Standing Rock. We'll get to that because obviously it's a good thing what's going on up there. I checked in on Facebook. You know, it's like you can't be there, but next thing you know, a million people across the country have all used that Facebook check-in, a selection or app or whatever it's called, to tell the world I'm at Standing Rock, even though technically and, of course, physically I'm not. I'm with you. And it got me to thinking that I think you're going to see a lot of that. I did see it in Ferguson, but it was, I don't think there was like the smart meme there is now that can say, listen, if you believe in, you know, stopping drilling in, let's say, the North Atlantic or something where, you know, where very sensitive lands need protection, and there's no way you're ever going to be able to physically get up there. What if we all check in and suddenly there's 25 million people? Power notices that. And that's the point. Now, it might be them running it and using it to gauge, because remember, if they can, in that giant room that I picture exists, where the supercomputers are showing you everything that's being said, everything that's being talked about. Little red flags are flying up every time the word bomb or something goes up. But there's also people talking about something locally, or in this case, you know, one state within one country, and it's hashtagging all over the place. And now I'm checking in on Facebook. Well, someone's on the opposite end of that. If you don't think that instant gratifying information to powerful people, if you want to know what the pulse of the people is, put your finger on their vein. Well, what's their vein? The internet. But I also see it as a, oh yeah, fuck you. 25 million of us can't physically get there, but we care enough to take a little time out of our day to remind you, Mr. Oil Company, you should not be drilling in that sensitive Arctic region. And here's my I don't know, virtual person standing there with a sign. It's kind of neat. It caught my attention the other day when I checked in, and I kept following it. And it really did go viral. It was like, it went from about 200,000 people to well close to a million or over a million in not very little time where people, so you know that that oil company that's running that pipeline, and, you know, they're all the same. Their names are different, but they're all the same. They got that little social media director, that person that's trying to save face because they're big oil and they're always trying to be all soft and fuzzy like, ooh, I'm a big oil voter. Have you seen those fucking bullshit things on YouTube? Where they say, I'm an energy voter. I'm an energy voter. Taking a big natural gas dildo right up my butt. Because I just sold my soul because I want to be an actress. I'm an energy voter. Fuck you. Stupid do you think we are? That is like paid. It literally says, you know, paid for by so-and-so big oil at the bottom of their little energy voter 15-second. And I'm like, come on. That's why natural gas and fracking is the future. And I'm going to get a new photo shoot. Yeah. I get it. You're young. You're good looking. You want to be an actor and actress. But you know what? Have the nads enough to say, like, oh, my God, I'm so embarrassed. You know, it was my first gig. I had to do a spot. Well, you know what? I don't know. Pick somebody else. So I saw those things. And I started looking on the internet. And I started seeing, I'm checking in, I'm voting. And I really feel something is going to come from this. Some type of network of networks. Where they basically, they're kind of like the pollsters. I'm sure maybe, you know what? All right. I'm talking about something that already exists. And I'm finally picturing it in my mind, even though I know it doesn't exist. If I'm a powerful person, really powerful, I want to know the pulse of the world. I want to know what all the people are saying on the internet. I want to know what pictures they're posting. I want to know who they're angry at. I have this computer that compiles a little line. And there's this line, like the line stands for you staying in power. Anything above the line means you're risking it. Because you're, the blue line, see, your white line just goes straight across. Their blue line keeps going up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. Us, the entire planet. We're really pissed. Ooh, let's give him a black man for president. He'll change things. Oh, we're not so pissed. Ooh. You know, that little blue line goes up and down and up and down. And when it gets near the white line, like, uh-oh, the whole, all the house of cards might collapse there. And, we gotta make him feel better. What do we do? Well, I predict that's coming because we are so full of so much bullshit that the oligarchs are just people are running away from the reality that we somehow live in a democracy. Millions of people are aware now. We're finding out more dirt about more people at a faster pace. So some type of revolutionary change is on the horizon, and I think I'll see it in my lifetime. And I'm 55, and I think I'll maybe if I crack 70, 75. So I think in the next 15 years, what we're seeing, I can't call it a third party surge yet. It's not a surge, but look at, you know, two elections ago, no one even knew what a libertarian was. Now their party, plenty of infighting in their own party and, you know, people that like power, kind of people that are charismatic. I watch what happens. There's some dirt being thrown around right now, in fact. That's a party that's trending in some double digits in some states. So if we're going to have this government of the people, by the people, for the people, well, we're going to have what's left of the Democratic Party. And the GOP, they'll scramble for their identities. And then you're going to have a small segment called the Green Party. And you're going to eventually, I would assume, be willing to welcome into, if it's a real democracy, even a communistic party. Maybe they're small, maybe they never gain any real power, but they have a voice. And one of their ideas might be something that might jive in Congress or not. I'm not saying, by the way, I'm not pitching communism. I'm just saying that we, this two-party system is a sham. Everybody knows it now. So that's why people are, like me, are thinking third party, just my own conscience. But I like to, like many people, I like to look down the field and go, okay, so how's this going to play out? And I think it's going to play out in some very good ways. I think what we're going to talk about a little bit tonight, one of the pieces I'm going to play, it's only 3 minutes long, but it does talk about the minimum wage, marijuana, and gun legislation. And that's what people feel passionate about, that they feel, yeah, I still have a say in that. Because when I voted yesterday. I voted, I voted for Jill Stein. I know she's invested in big carbon, and I'm incredibly disappointed, but I just couldn't click the other two boxes. And Gary Johnson, not my guy. I don't lean completely libertarian. I think I need some framework and structure where the whole framework of the society can work around, but as long as it has legitimate checks and balances, and it doesn't anymore, and that's why our government's also co-opted. But if it did, then I think a little bit of government is a good thing, especially locally. Maybe not so much on the national level. And yes, I know a lot of these things would disappear. I'm not a Ron Paul guy. I can't sit there and go, just make the EPA disappear. You have to show me the steps on how suddenly all these companies are going to grow a conscience and not dump their chemicals now that they know no one's watching. Oh, because we'll sue them. Well, half the time the lawsuits will have what? Caps. Oh, well, we're going to get rid of the caps. Well, who's to guarantee that you have enough evidence? Oh, that guy might get paid off. My whole point is big, powerful companies aren't afraid to be sued. They're much more worried about being monitored because it forces them to have to do some things. So the point I'm making is, the EPA, sure there's waste. Sure they're overlooking, and sure they didn't report on themselves during that spill out west. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying they're God. What I'm saying is a little bit of someone watching the watchers would be nice. Okay? That's it. Living in harmony and total anarchy, great concept. I don't know how that quantum leap of consciousness happens with so many people who are attached to the tit of government. 50% of anyone who receives any type of money in this country, it is directly connected to the government, whether it's a government job or government assistance. 50% of our people are attached to the tit. They want the tit. They need the tit. They use the tit. Now, you show me how we jumped to total anarchy in a day, week, month, year. You'd have total chaos, and I know chaos and anarchy aren't the same thing. But, so when it comes to the Ron Pauls and libertarians, my point is, I see a lot of your thinking about, you know, ending the waste and allowing yourself a lot more real, true, honest-to-goodness freedoms. Get it. That's where I lean. You know, I can lean towards those things. But I also believe that I don't believe in a permanent handout, but I do believe in a hand up, and I believe in social programs, and I believe that the table is tilted, and we do live in a world of crony capitalism, and it's created a lot of poverty, not in third world countries, here. And if anybody is pissed that a penny of your so-called tax dollars goes to help someone fill their stomach with food, and you have an issue with it, fuck you. Don't call yourself Christian. You don't even care about the poor, downtrodden, lonely, all the things that Jesus guy talked about all the time that you're supposed to care about. Well, a lot of that right don't give a flying fuck about them. So, yeah, I care. I care about the poor. We can do better. Okay? We can do a lot better. What system? I don't know. We all know the Fed runs the deal. So, maybe as it splinters, and that's what I think will happen locally rather than nationally, as it splinters, it'll do one of two things. It'll die fighting and trying, or it will adapt, and the system, the oligarchs, will adapt and take a smaller piece of the pies and realize that if they want to stay in their little places and print up their fake money, and we don't literally storm their Bastille with torches and pitchforks, that's what's happening. The give and take. It's because what happens? Information is power. It always has been. The more we know about our leaders, the less power they're going to have, the less bullshit they're going to pull. And we're going to learn more and more and more about the facade that is our government. Because that's the truth. When you swallow the 9/11 red pill, you realize how much of everything you're told, and most importantly, everything you're not told, is directly connected to, call it shadow government, call it oligarchy, call it the mob. They're just officially the mob. It's like the new mob. They're still mobsters, but they just keep creating legislation to keep themselves Teflon. Name the last heavy-duty politician to get sentenced for anything in this country. They're Teflon, and they know it. And what happens is they get more and more careless because they don't give a fuck. You think Hillary Clinton's not the choice? Of course she's the choice. Why would every network ignore everything from her health issues to who knows what's going on with that Clinton Foundation? How the fuck do you have, how can you get worth $200 million when you don't produce anything? You don't own chicken farms. You don't produce anything. How does your net worth go from, I don't know, what, $10 million to $200 million? You know what you are? You're grease the wheels. Bill gives the speech. They give him $750,000. Hillary, as Secretary of State, goes to a country and goes, you know what? You know, some of that forest you've been protecting? We're going to let that big industrial guy from Canada come here and cut down some of that Amazon. Okay? Okay. See you later. Bye. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Haiti, some of that money you were supposed to get for rehousing, we actually put that in really nice hotels on the north side of the country that didn't get hit by the earthquake. She's like a deal maker. She's like a bag man. And she gets a cut. And so does Bill. That's what they do. Now, technically, unless you can prove there was a conversation that they actually agreed that, you can't prove it. All you can produce is the circumstances. Bill goes to a country, gives a speech. Thank you for the $750,000. I can't do a good Clinton. $750,000. 2 months later, some guy who's been waiting 10 years to start harvesting part of the Amazon along the coastline suddenly gets the go-ahead. Same thing with a mine in, I want to say it's Central Africa. Some guy who's a huge mandate in Canada, just copper mines and gold mines and, iron mines. Well, he's looking at all those minerals in Africa. He wants to get in there. Can't get in there. Oops. Bill's going to give a speech there. Hillary meets with the leader, who, by the way, is wanted by the UN for human rights violations in his own country. Yes, he is a dictator. And suddenly, Mr. Canada gets to go farm all those minerals. That's what the Clinton Foundation is. It's like they're bagmen, and they get a huge cut. You get some big mineral guy who's worth several billion dollars. You think he writes a check to Bill Clinton for 750 grand? That's like fucking nothing to that guy. And suddenly he gets to go into a country and just rape it and take all those minerals. I'm not saying that we don't need better highways and better iron and better steel. What I'm saying is that's politics. That's how it's always been. And that's what the Clinton Foundation is. If they're stupid enough to get caught, they get caught. But that's what they are. They just grease the wheels for big, big industry. And that's, and they have power because she's in government. She was Secretary of State. You know, he's retired. She's not now. What do you think when she's installed next week? What do you think their net worth's going to be? Now, see, they're going to have to divest it all. You know, put it over here in Chelsea, like spend it all on blow and her gay lover. Who knows? Whatever. And then 8 years later, after she's done being installed, by the way, I don't think she'll live that long. I think she does have some type of neurological disorder. And I think you'll see more and more of that as the months progress. And it's, you know, something you can't hide. It's the type of thing where you can go, you know what? You haven't proven me she doesn't have a Parkinson's or something like that. If she does, by the way, she's looked amazing, what, for the last 2.5, 3 weeks? She hasn't had anything. Now, a little bit of cross-eyed on slow motion on cameras. So some of the small, that's the side effects of the medicine. If you have Parkinson's, you take a medicine to stop all that, you know, involuntary twitching and everything that goes on. Well, it does have side effects, and one of them is cross-eyed. Well, you can't hide that. You're on camera all the time. So that's showing up. But she has been energetic, almost to the point where I haven't seen her walk along a rail and use lean on it. So as far as, you know, being honest and forthright about the way she's looked the last 3 weeks, she's looked very energetic and very on point. Maybe that's because she knew the answers. Best election ever. It's awesome. It's awesome. All right. Deborah Wasserman Schultz rigs it so Bernie can't win. We find out. They kick her out. Okay. Then they take another woman. I mean, you can't write this. You can't. Maybe it is. Maybe it's just they're following a script. Maybe this is like all wag the dog. What if it is? I mean, seriously, what if everything is wag the dog? Except this podcast, of course. I'm going to take the anti-wag the dog stance right now. Hang on. Okay. I promise I am not helping wag the dog. I promise. I'm really not. I'm not. Can you tell I'm stalling and looking for the article? Yeah, I know. That's how it works. Sometimes it's just I get in those moments where I post like, oh, I'm going to post this. I'm going to post that. And then when I'm looking for something I really want, I got to go past, okay, it's another fucking meme. I get it. I get it. And I'm still looking for the story. And oh, man, there it is. Okay, sorry. Donna Brazile is the replacement for Debbie. Now, you got to think about this. Clinton is like the mastermind. She's like Dr. Evil, right? And she has her minions, right? And you know what happens to minions? He presses the red button in the chair and you go down, you land in the fire and you burn. Well, Wasserman Schultz has got to be waiting for just, you know, to slip in the shower. This is Hillary, Killary Clinton here. This woman's mafia. Well, Donna Brazile says, yeah, I'm going to give you a couple of the questions to the so-called hometown, you know, like where they sit around and people go, I have a question for you, Miss Clinton. And it's all written on a card for him and everything. Well, she, you know, it's like when you know the answer to the question and you can be completely prepared for the answer. Yeah. Anyways, where I went to school, that was called cheating. Okay, you know, maybe you went to a different school, but think about it, man. You know, Five dead, let me see, since last August, five people associated with or around or at least maybe one separation of Kevin Bacon away from Hillary Clinton all end up dead in a matter of weeks, very close together. And, you know, you call that a cluster when you're like you're looking for cockroaches, or you call it a cluster when you're trying to find cancer in a neighborhood. But this woman just... Honestly, I would love to be a fly on the wall that could listen because, you know, she's power hungry. And by the way, Trump's a complete douchebag. I'm not voting for Trump either. I'm not slamming Hillary because I'm a Trump person. I'm slamming Hillary because she's going to be your next president. She was the one the globalists want. She will continue everything. See, George Bush got it all started, the PNAC thing. He got it in progress. Barack Obama certainly ran with it. Okay, he might have, there's some jobs that are up, but the wages are down. So most people are still suffering in this country. But, you know, his track record, gasoline's been $2.20. You send John Kerry to Saudi Arabia and you tell them you want to keep buying planes. All right, well, sell us oil cheap until the president's out. So, you know, you have enough power to maybe manipulate gas prices, but not forever. So I'm not saying Barack Obama hasn't, lessened the suffering within our borders somewhat. This is a guy also poised to sign the TPP and fuck us all over again. So it's a baby bathwater thing with me. You can look at any given leader and go, wow, this guy was an asshole 10 times, but the last two, you know, he did a couple things here or there, or one of his organizations did that. I always look for, you know, what actually takes place versus what they say they're going to do. Well, Hillary Clinton obviously is very entrenched in Washington. She's a very powerful person. Now she's going to be Dr. Evil powerful. You know, she's going to literally, you know, she'll have that cackle laugh like when she's sitting in the giant Oval Office by herself and she just, you know, just sent a drone to hunt down, you know, I don't know. And she's like, yeah, that's Hillary Clinton. But I, you know, like I was saying earlier, is I love the idea that the information is coming to us much quicker. It used to take 20 or 30 years. You know, most people that look into Kennedy didn't have any real information until 10 years after the fact. 9/11, I think, started to accelerate things. You started to see a lot of quick documentaries come up within... well, 2 or 3 years, okay, versus Kennedy, maybe 10, 15 years where people could start, you know, finally see the Zapruder film and things like that. Nowadays, information is right at our fingertips. So you're starting to see their ability to create a lie and carry that lie for any distance is getting shorter and shorter. Well, that's when we become more and more awake. Like I said at the beginning of the show, 2008, woke up a lot of people that didn't give a fuck about politics. They couldn't name anybody in Congress, never mind their own local congressman. They didn't care because their life was okay. And then suddenly they're about to lose their house. That wakes people up because that's when you go, all right, how did this happen? What did I sign? Oh, what are they? Well, how are they connected to these people? There's been movies, several movies about 2008. So the awakening happens in stages. It really happens in stages. You know, many people, you know, 9/11 was a huge awakening for a lot of people and still is continuing to be one as more and more people look into it independently and far removed from the emotion and just say, wow. Well, it's the same thing with the current woman running for president. It's like you can control the information only so long. And each time a new leak comes out, more and more people wake up and look like, wow, this is a very corrupt woman attached to a very corrupt man, attached to a very corrupt family. That is not just according to U.S. patriotism, associating her biggest aide. I don't know if we're going to have a chance to talk about her tonight, but her biggest aide has ties to Saudi Arabian families and terrorist organizations, right straight to her mother. Now, I'm not a big guy on spreading the fear and the fear of a religion or even fear of terrorism. But when you do connect the dots, you can see where Uma came from. I know that today, and the story broke yesterday or the day before. That's what I'm talking about. So some people call that a quickening, you know, because almost literally we're learning quicker. We're learning faster. It can be disheartening if, you know, you got your gun in your Bible and you just, you know, and you just believe in, you know, I don't know, the government or your president or, I get that. It's the same thing as someone leaning on their religion for strength or someone who thinks my identity is connected to this. You know, I'm an American, I'm a Christian, I believe in the Second Amendment. There's the framework of what I am. Here's what I'm attached to, the United States government. And I believe that we're the good guys in the world. Well, those guys were some of actually the first people to wake up. Yeah, they call those guys the gun toters. People that were actually paying attention to when we started to lose our republic / democracy, how it took place, what's taken its place, and where it's led us. Those people are patriots, and they were made fun of for a very long time. And now more and more of them have a podcast or a show, and they're talking about, I'm not talking like hardcore like Tea Party. I'm talking about just get back to the Constitution. There's no reason why we can't run our own ship, and we can do everything from stop the wars to create great relationships with other countries and really have protections for everyone. So everyone's got food, housing, medicine. I'm not talking socialism either. I'm talking about a real true flow of goods across the world that aren't controlled by the same five families or six families and all the shipping lanes and all the railroads and all the cranes that load them and all the trucks that truck them and all the, warehouses that house these things. These are all owned by very powerful families. And that's how you control people. You literally control everything that comes to them or goes to them. And not only that, the price. They call that market manipulation. So it's always got a phrase to make it sound like it's softer than it really is. It's people fucking with you. You know, Karen. Who's that guy in The Fifth Element? Gary Oldman. Zorg. He's like Zorg, man. He don't care. Fire 1 million. The guy goes, maybe if we fired 500,000, he goes, fire 1 million. Done. Those people exist. They really do. And we've given them too much power. It's trickled up to them. The world is waking up. This isn't just in America. This is Europe. Even the Philippines is starting to fight back against the TPP. You're seeing an awakening because information is flowing. Somewhere, we used to goof on this on the IO show, somewhere in South Korea is somebody tapping a phone line and listening to this podcast. And he's really cool. And he like paints like graffiti on the walls at night in South Korea. And he's listening to Dangerous Conversation. And he speaks just enough English to figure out we're fucking cool. Well, we are. You know. We are. That's me patting myself on the back. All right. I'm going to start with Gary. He really puts the pieces together. He gets a little Trumpish in the middle of this, but this is a great piece. Now, he knows a lot more about what's going on in this latest FBI / Hillary / Huma / what's his name there? Wiener. So here we go, Gary. And you're on, my brother. Go.
News for you right now. Just got word. ABC News is reporting. This is just breaking. The warrant has been issued to authorize the FBI to go into Anthony Weiner's laptop, the emails, the thousands of emails that are that have been discovered. They originally had a warrant so they could look for evidence regarding the sexting scandal with the 15-year-old minor. But now they needed to get an additional warrant. Of course, as you may know, the Justice Department was stonewalling, pleading the Fifth, doing all kinds of craziness to try to block the FBI from getting access. Well, now the warrant has been granted. They dragged their feet. Now they can go in and they can get the evidence that they need. Now the question is, what are they going to find? I've said time and time again, what I believe they're going to find is evidence of pay-to-play, information on the scandals at the Clinton Foundation. But I noted in a previous report just earlier today, the one thing I noted was that the files were located in a folder called life insurance. Now, that was called into question by a bunch of folks who were saying, well, you know, is this real? And the tweet came from sort of a questionable tweet. You know, how could this person have inside information? Well, then it was revealed, some of our own viewers brought it to our attention, that Fox News had actually had brought it, had reported on that fact that the files were located, the emails were located in a folder called life insurance. So, again, that begs the question, why are these emails in a folder titled life insurance? Is it possible that they believe they could have been a hit placed out on them by Hillary Clinton herself?
Okay, remember this. Emails on somebody else's computer that belong technically to Hillary. Jack Bauer. This is Jack Bauer shit. This is awesome. And by the way, this happens everywhere in Washington. This is why they're so paranoid. This is why I said this on Nancy's show. This is why I believe the NSA and the CIA all wanted us over the last couple of years with Snowden and everything else to actually know that they were listening and compiling and storing. This audio right now will find its way to some big storage unit on a hard drive, and it'll sit there. And if the government ever wants to come after me and I say something on this podcast, they can use this. It'll be stored somewhere along with a couple, oh yeah, fuck yous. Those are always fun. But the whole concept is everyone's finding out quick. Hang on, I'm going to back it up just a bit right to there.
Life insurance, is it possible that they believe there could have been a hit placed out on them?
See, I've got Hillary's emails on my phone. Is that security? It's got to be. Why else would he have them? Boy, Wiener's can't keep his wiener out of trouble. And his wife, by the way, lots of connections to the Saudis. His wife. Yeah, his wife. That's right. She's married to him. That's right. It is his wife. Or estranged. Just a strange wife. Because he was dick picking it. So he dick picked it. She kind of disappeared, but I don't think they ever got divorced. Well, she's Hillary's right-hand woman, and has been for about 20 years. Some people are saying that if Hillary's installed, she's going to be chief of staff. Yeah, Huma. Here we go.
By Hillary Clinton herself, and that this was what they would use, their bargaining chip, to keep them alive if Hillary Clinton came after them. So now the warrants have been issued, and they can officially begin the investigation. Now, they've said that there's going to be probably about 120, I think they said somewhere up to 600,000 emails or something. I mean, the number is astronomical. Different reports vary, but they stated in the probably hundreds of thousands of emails, and it could take weeks until they actually can figure out what they have. They got to sort.
Imagine like sitting there and you're working in the FBI. It's Friday. Getting ready to go camping 3 days with your buddies and your girlfriends, just partying and just, what's that, sir? I have to help decipher 300,000 emails over the weekend. Great. Yeah. Somebody's got to do that. So you got to make it fun. I mean, you got to sit in a room in a bunch of cubicles with a bunch of people, and you all get, okay, you do number 1 through 50, and, you know, boom, 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 and then you file them down, and this might, you know, and then they find, you know, obviously if you mark it important, then they all end up on that list as to what was important versus what was just, you know, don't even need to look at it, you know. She's reminding herself to buy cat food or something. Well, what's the list that makes it? Is everyone like corrupt politician, or are a couple just like, oh my God. Yeah. Yeah, she sent in topless pictures. Like, you find that? You think everybody does it. So you think people in power don't trade dick pics and nudies? Of course. Wiener's the perfect example. Clinton, you know, whatever. So the point I'm making is, if you have stuff on a private server, what's in there? Okay? You don't want it to run through the natural channels of being Secretary of State. So if you're wearing like a bustier with nipple rings on it, it doesn't make the cut. And you send it on the private. My point is, let's say out of 100,000 emails, all right, let's say 30,000 are incriminating. Another 40,000 don't mean anything. That's 70. You get to 20,000 more that are just kind of like, inner office goofing. And then you get to 10, and then there's 500, and then there's like 40 of them. And they're all like, oh, her wild weekend at the nudist camp. Come on. Got to be more to it. Got to be. I want more dirt. I want more like Maury Povich. Come on now. We got to get the Brondo world. We are the dumbest society on the planet. Our politics is getting dragged into the mud. I'm a talk show host who's fucking loving it. And we just need more, got electrolytes.
Through the duplicates, they got to sort through what they've already gone through. They've got to find out what's new and what's old. And then they've got to parse it all out and look for the classified information, look for the evidence that's required to convict. Now, here's another interesting point that just happened. Is that Harry Reid, okay, the Senate Minority Leader, the Democrat Senate Minority Leader, has come out with his own letter telling everybody, telling Comey that you may be in violation of federal law because of his reopening of the case. So now you got the Senate attacking the FBI director, all because they're trying to protect the rigged game.
Blood in the water. Sharks are going crazy. It's awesome. Do you hear what he just said there? There we go.
Of federal law because of his reopening has come out with his own letter telling everybody, telling Comey that
in
you may
FBI.
Be in violation of federal law because of his reopening of the case. So now you got the Senate attacking the FBI director, all because they're trying to protect the rigged game. That is the Washington system. That is the corruption in Washington. And that is exactly what they're doing.
That's awesome. It's like the ship's starting to boom, another hole, Captain. We're sinking. And all of a sudden, the rats just start just heading to the surface. It's awesome. I love it. Jack Nicholson, this town needs an enema. This country needs a little bit of mud and dirt and anger. I'm not into the violence, but we are learning more and more and faster. That's pretty much the theme of tonight's show, of course, that we have been lied to on so many levels that eventually you will care. Maybe you're concerned about vaccines. Maybe you're concerned, just go right down that list of topics. Maybe you're concerned about the prison industrial system. Maybe you're concerned about the war on drugs. Maybe you care about GMOs and foods. Maybe you want to see transparency in government. Maybe. I'll qualify for that one. So this is all starting to take place. And it's, I never thought of myself as an investigative reporter. I was never that curious. But I loved doing, Gary a favor here and, exposing it to, I got 20,000 listeners. Those people are going to say, you know what? Wow, this thing really is starting to unravel. Now, I said this at the beginning. He is a Trump guy. But he still connects the dots here for a little while, and then he gets a little bit political, and we'll stop it at that point. But he really is letting people know that not only is the Clinton dynasty starting to take some major hits, its reaction has created a wave of everything from a few dead people to infighting within government and when in public decries of infighting. When the the lead senator of the Democrats attacks the FBI, shit's getting real.
As Hillary Clinton issued her own letter to everybody, you know, all of her, you know, ex prosecutor friends, and saying, look, you all need to attack Comey now. So she's calling in all of her political favors so that they can go and attack Comey. Then the first letter that has officially been released is by Harry Reid. So the bigger problem here, okay, it's not just the crimes of Hillary Clinton. What it is the cover-up and the concealment of those crimes themselves. Okay?
The point, you know, he's gonna lose me. By the way, if you want to vote for Trump, go for it, man. I'm not anti-Trump. I'm not anti-Clinton. I'm sorry. My idea of leadership is slightly above that level. I'm not going to lower my bar to vote for something like that. I just can't. But what he's talking about is, yes, the facade of government is peeling away. And this is how things peel away. They used to be able to control all the information. Now it's on iPods. Now it's on email text. Now this information network is coming back to bite them in the ass. Because not only are they up to corrupt things, it's in fucking writing. It's pretty neat times we're experiencing. Very cool. All right, I'm going to let him go until he starts becoming a Trumpster there.
It's like everybody's, all the Democrats, all the criminals in Washington, all the people who are stealing from the American people are circling their wagons because they want to protect the game, because they know Trump is the biggest threat. He's already issued major ethics reforms that he says he's going to lock down the minute he's in office.
Okay. That's about it. If you want more, please go to DonaldTrump.com if you want to know whether that's true or not. I don't know. Honestly, I do like that he had free rein to say what he wanted to say. He hinted at some neat things that people are starting to look at. Would he make a, you know, it's kind of like Rodney Dangerfield for president. It's just, it doesn't fit. But, you know, neither did Harry Truman. You know, a guy used to, for his day, Harry Truman was Donald Trump. Said what he wanted, swore occasionally, that kind of stuff. Now, I'm not saying, you know, the way Trump has treated women. I'm not defending any of that. It's obvious. The guy's an asshat. And he doesn't deserve to be president. So that's why I can't vote for him either. But the Clinton scandals continue to grow. And the reason Wiki is going after her and not Trump is because Wiki knows she's the chosen one. Globalists need a face. She's the CEO of the company that is known as the United States of America. So we're not a country run by us. We're a company owned by very rich people, very powerful people. So she's the new chosen CEO because she knows the game plan. Just like Barack knew the game plan, just like Bush knew the game plan. He played kind of a stupid guy, but honestly, he accomplished almost everything that PNAC wanted to do. He certainly got a head start on it. He certainly got America like 96% waving their patriotic flag right after 9/11. I mean, we make fun of W. Honestly, for what he was chosen to do and what he was told to do, he did it. And Barack came in as, oh, I'm going to counter that. We're going to end all this and end all that. And none of that ended. And yeah, Barack said, oh, yeah, Libya and Syria too. Ba-boom, ba-boom. Qatar, boom. So he's doing what he's told. So she's going to do exactly what she's told. She just wants the gig. She likes the power. She'll be the face of the new corporation. And remember now, this corporation thinks we're all a bunch of just complaint old troglodytes. So what they do is they go, oh, they're craving change. I see them all sitting in a round room, smoking big fat cigars. They all know each other. Their families knew each other's families and knew each other's families, going way back to old, old wealth. Same thing in China. Same round table, same old families kind of thing. Same thing in the Russia. You know, it's not just like five powerful people. There are powerful people in all countries because that wealth goes back centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries. And, you know, these people just don't, you know, they're the names you don't hear. We hear Oprah, you know, we hear Bill Gates, and we think that's rich. That's not rich. Yeah, that's wealthy. But someone still signs your paychecks. Someone still pays you. Someone's above you. And those are oligarchs. Those are families that have owned and controlled every shipping and electric grid and railroad track and port and depot. And basically, it's like if they had a puppet and they moved all their fingers, you'd literally see, you know, energy being transferred from continent to, you would see them literally controlling the world. Those people exist. Hillary Clinton is just the new person to run their company. So thinking that, you know, Trump or Hillary, and by the way, let's say Trump wins. Let's say Trump's legit. Let's say he goes in and says, oh, I am going to start. We're going to investigate the Fed. We're going to go boom. And he just comes in swinging. How long before he has a heart attack? So I think what we need to do is, rather than worry about the top of the pyramid, is unsettling it locally. And I've learned that from a couple people that, you know, Daniel Alexander and Alexander Schnicker, some very good peeps, great people. Libertarian, proud of it. They do a lot for their local things. I mean, seriously. I mean, this guy ran here in Florida for Senate, and he cares. He's open-minded. He's smart, and you know, they taught me a lot about how the third idea gets squoze into this bullshit two-party paradigm that we have. And he goes, it always happens locally. The machine's too big at the top for Gary Johnson or Jill Stein to ever receive any mojo and momentum and really suddenly have this wave take over the country because everything's controlled. But locally, it's not so much controlled. Hang on a sec. It's much harder to control. People's positions of power are much lower. They're risking their job, you know. At the top, the guy who runs NBC, he's hearing from, you know, GE, you know, the other corporations that own that media outlet, and he's being told, you know, here's what makes it, here's what doesn't. This show makes people think it won't succeed, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's harder and harder to do all the way down the bottom is because you're talking to some news editor that makes, you know, $22,000 a year or some local TV station, and he decides to run a news piece on some investigative reporting he's been doing. And it's, the point I'm making is it's really hard to control information everywhere all the time. Now, it's impossible to do it. And a long time ago, it wasn't that hard to do. It was called the Bible. There was only one person in the entire village that could read it because it was written in a language that no one in the village understood. And it was known as the word of God. In other words, whatever that man tells you is in that book is God speaking to you, and you had better toe the line. That's power. And what's happening now is those people that owned the message and definitely owned the messengers, being the old school media, have lost their grip. There's too many of us now. There's too many of us doing our own thing, doing our own podcast, broadcast, artwork, graffiti, music, speaking tours. There's too many of us. So it's becoming inevitable that they had better start, this is what I talked about earlier, capitulating to us, or there's going to be revolution. There's a white line on the big screen. Underneath that white line is a blue line. It goes up and down and up and down. And every time it goes down, Americans are happier, less angry. And every time it goes up towards that white line, gasoline's going up in price, right on down the line. And the people that control the markets, that control the countries, that control the globe, and control something called globalism, really do exist. And they're starting to realize that there's getting to be thousands of me and hundreds of millions of you, and they're going to have to come to a little fork in their road, and they're going to start backing off the war, backing off the bullshit, making all that money off of war machines, and they're going to start thinking, wow, I better start putting some of my billions into solar energy, or they're going to be at my door. Now, it's not going to be as much they're afraid of us. It's going to be as much as our consciousness of those choices and our voice screaming for that choice. As the numbers grow on Facebook, how many people like solar energy? And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Well, Mr. Fat Cat Cigar Guy in the big room, he's noticing. And he's right now, he's still got a lot of his money in big oil and big coal, big natural gas, and he doesn't give a fuck about you. He doesn't care if climate change is real or not. Either way, on that political story, he doesn't care because he's making billions of dollars. And wait a minute. You're not buying his gas anymore. Oh, you've become vocal on his websites. Oh, you tracked him down on Twitter. That's what's happening. The rich and powerful across the globe are slowly learning that we're learning. And they're going to have to decide which way the globe goes. Is it going to go towards that greed, total, or is it going to become what we see on Star Trek? You know, the advanced civilizations that finally said, transparency, we're all going to have a say. We're going to find our balance in nature. We're going to find our balance. We're going to, with everything we use and recycle, we're going to bring every argument into the realm. There's a quantum leap there. And that quantum leap is usually because old power loses power. Rome fell, Greece fell, Mesopotamia fell. Empires always fall. How do they fall? Well, you're watching the beginning of that crumbling of that empire. But they still got plenty of time out in front of them. Plenty of time. Or they can start to say, you know what? If I don't start responding to the needs of people and what they're starting to want, I'm fucked. So that's why I wanted to do this story, because I do talk about cannabis. Okay, I get it. But I don't want anybody to think that I talk about cannabis only because I use it. It's because, wow, I had no idea at November 2nd of 2016 that I'd be playing these three pieces, nice little independent reports about cannabis and guns and the minimum wage, some good stuff here from independent media, and have recreational cannabis almost dominate, if everything goes their way, next Tuesday, the entire West Coast of a country. Unless someone said, you know what? All right, we've made about as much as we can make on booze and cigarettes. We got to find a way to bring this in, market it in, own it as much as possible. They're going to, of course, you know, they're going to try that. But They can't patent it. That's why it's bummed them out so long. But the point I'm making is, even if you don't believe in that circus like I do at the top of the food chain, if the, you know, up there with Hillary and Donald, making, as Alex and Alexander told me, making a difference locally, I really started to follow the races a little bit more closely and learn a little bit about. I have a tendency to douche when I go in for locals. I'll just go like, okay, whoever the incumbent is, you're out. Boom, bam, boom. So I have a tendency to do that because I'm an independent. I don't belong to any political party. But there's a couple I've researched, you know, here in Florida that I'm going to vote for because I looked into it. It does take a lot of work. But this national spotlight on what we're going to talk about here, let's start with this one because I believe this is about Nevada. Yes, it is. And here we go. Story number one. I'm sure there'll be a commercial. Yeah, sure there is. Now, that's a good-looking fajita, like when they bring it to you and they're all steamy and hot. Oh, that's a steak sandwich. That's a chicken sandwich. And some guy just said, we have meats.
Now Nevada could see a larger than normal turnout of young voters this November. Another critical group this election season, the Silver State, one of five states that will vote on measures that could legalize marijuana for recreational use.
California, Nevada, Arizona, Maine, and Massachusetts. It's like the farthest you can go east and the farthest you can go west. With a big giant void in the middle. Damn it.
And that could draw young voters to the polls. MSNBC's Jacob Soboroff is in Las Vegas. Wonder why I pitched this one for us this morning. The latest installment of his Up for Grabs series.
That's a subtle hint that the guy he's about to go to is a complete fucking pothead. And they had a story like, someone's got to go to Nevada, to Las Vegas, to talk about weed. He was like, please, 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 sir. I know I've only been here a year, but please, sir, I'd love to go to Nevada. Please, please. So, yeah, it's the Anchorman is about to kick it to the weed man.
Jacob, so how important is the so-called marijuana vote there?
Hey, Peter, it could be critically important. As a matter of fact, we know very well that Hillary Clinton is struggling with young voters. It's a very tight race for this question, too, this marijuana legalization ballot initiative that is going on here. And she needs every little bit of help that she can get from young voters that are going out to the polls. So could this help her? That is the big question. Right now, this morning, before opening hours, this dispensary called The Source has let me in. All of this marijuana that you see around me right now is completely legal under the medical marijuana rules. Everything from these baby J's to these pre-rolls, to this Kona Kush and the Kong brand from this dispensary itself, The Source.
How geeky can you sound like when you're reciting the names of weed? Damn.
And there's Kona Kush right here.
I'm just goofing on him a little bit. I'm jealous, okay? He's walking down the aisle of a dispensary. He's doing a TV report on one of them fancy networks, and he's getting to talk about cannabis and the vote, and he gets to walk into the building where they grow all those little babies and where they harvest them, and they have them labeled and taxed, and everybody's getting a piece of the food chain except the Mexicans. By the way, that's a piece of a story. A piece of this one, I think it is. Here we go.
How is this all going to affect the presidential election and the results in Nevada, which, in all seriousness, is a very important swing state and things are effectively tied here? That's what we came here to find out. Take a look.
So what do we got to do? We got to put these things on?
We put these things on to make sure we don't spread any bugs or any other airborne pathogens.
You're going into the growing area.
Take off your shoes.
Oh, man.
We're going to put on the Crocs.
This is very Walter White.
It is. Breaking green.
Breaking green. So, Dave.
Just said breaking bud. I have that t-shirt.
David, you own a retail store.
Okay, these guys are literally walking down hallways that look like something out of Soylent Green. Everything is white. It's like just, it looks like the walls have been scrubbed by toothpicks or toothbrushes. Toothpicks would take a while. It's like, yeah. Oh, yeah, Mr. Toothbrush. I got to scrub the walls with a toothpick.
going to be here a while.
All right. Love when my brain does that.
All right. The point I'm making is they made them put on clothes so they couldn't contaminate a growing area. And think about that. That how much you need to control your product's consistency. There's a science to it now, and we have to treat it that way. I know it's a little geeky, but it's a great point. That this is where we're headed. This is why I say this. Let's say I got a headache. Let's say I can't sleep. And I call a dealer and I go, give me some weed. What if he brings me sativa and that's all he has? It's not going to help me sleep. It's going to help me think. But if there was a dispensary up the street and I said, I'm having some insomnia. He goes, oh, yeah, we got plenty of indicas over here, blah, 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 blah. You know, these work well. These are long lasting. These are, you know, boom, boom, boom. Choice. An actual choice, a refined scientific choice. And as this amazing green economy of cannabis and hemp will grow, so will the products and so will the refinement of the products all the way down to a plain old pill, suppository, inhaler. I just posted this really cool inhaler the other day. You're going to see billion-dollar industries form around the plants, because you mentioned hemp as well. And this is going to be part of the new United States of America. We're not going to be so stupid. We're not going to let fear run our lives as much. And this is why I'm so pro-cannabis and so pro-hemp. A, because, yes, I get my choices that I want. And I don't mind paying those taxes. And it also is going to create a lot of jobs. And it's also going to slow down the war on drugs and the prison industrial complex. So it's all connected. And it's about fucking time. It's about time. I'm going to let them, you know, this is visual, but let's do this together. Let's do this visual.
Where this stuff is all sold. The weed in your store?
Yes.
Comes from here?
A lot of it comes from here.
Should we hand sanitize?
So now they're just walking in.
Hey. What's up?
And if you've ever walked into a grow room, it's like something out of like one of those movies about the sun where you're like your ship is headed towards the sun. You walk in and one of the windows is facing towards the sun. It's just like just bright yellow everywhere. That's a grow room. I'm sure you've seen one. Some of you had one. I qualify. I had one at one time. And some of you have one, like right now. And all I'm going to say is thanks. And why aren't you hooking me the fuck up?
These are the actual buds on the plant that people are going to buy and smoke or do whatever they wish.
Yeah.
All of this marijuana, everything around us, under the medical marijuana laws of Nevada currently, is completely legal.
It's legal in the state of Nevada.
If recreational marijuana is legalized here in November.
Listen to what this guy says. Because remember, this guy's just right now, he's just growing it for the medicinal laws that exist, not the recreational. And of course, this guy's like Captain Obvious, you know, if recreational gets added into Nevada.
It's legal in the state of Nevada.
If recreational marijuana is legalized here in November, all this stuff could be sold to anybody under those rules, too.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. And then, yeah, that would give me a boner. This room would be like, you know, my industry would quadruple in its first year. I have to, I want to talk about these grow rooms because they're becoming more and more sophisticated. And I mean that in a good way. Botanists are paying attention. A lot more people are, as much as, don't get me wrong, hydro is wonderful, but there are chemicals involved. And pH systems, and it's a little bit more difficult. There are plenty that grow indoors in soil. And, of course, there's many outdoor growers that are, you know, letting nature take over. You're going to have some bugs. You're going to have, you know, you might get some cross-pollination. You might get some less than completely controlled substance grown in a laboratory. Well, that's cool, too. That might not pass the test to become a medicine. Because, I don't know, you know, I got to rethink that. Because what if you grew it completely organically and just used nothing like cow shit as fertilizer or something like that?
and you grew a big 7-foot sativa and you didn't put any chemicals in it, what would make that maybe yield of crop because of bugs or something like that? Or see, that's the thing, one little spider mite, and if you're trying to turn that into medicine, then it contaminates the sample. That's what I'm talking about. So I don't know how many outdoor medicines will be grown. I know some of the ones that are CBD are grown just like you would see lettuce grown in huge fields. And it's not because they're worried about the THC content. These are like Charlotte's Web kind of things. And they're just going to be squeezed into oil anyway and go through that end of it rather than the hallucinogenic. It's so cool to see so many branches, pardon the pun, growing on the cannabis tree of business. From the people that manufacture vending machines or inhalers, the people that grow independently, the people that are learning to grow independently. It is absolutely amazing to watch, and I am absolutely stoked to see what happens in medicine in the next 10 years. I think we're going to see... excuse me. I think we're going to see the autoimmune system boosted by some THC products, because that's really what it does to the endocannabinoid system, is it? It basically, yeah, it's kind of like fixing a pothole in the road, and that's what it does to your systems. It basically doesn't cure you. It gives your body its ability to cure itself. And that's what I'm learning from watching the doctors describe how cannabis is helping us heal. But everything from Alzheimer's to obviously people that suffer seizures and everything else, the testimony just keeps going through the roof. It's amazing. I can't wait for more and more people to learn. And not only once they learn and they make up their mind and they change their mind, especially here in Florida, some old guy gets off of opiates. The next thing you know, he's eating a couple of candies a day and he can walk around and his knee feels good. And he gets to spend some time with his grandchildren and his dogs. And he's not addicted to opiates anymore, and he's not suffering any side effects. That's what's coming. Real life, honest to good stories of people who will finally get a chance to, I don't know, not just choose cannabis, but legally choose it, use it, and then come to you with their stories. And watch all the fucking paranoia and fright like they do now on these Say No ads. Well, you're going to have a dispensary near your school, and you know your kids are going to mistake it for candy, and it's like, wow, they haven't mentioned one piece of science. All they're doing is making you afraid. All of that is going to disappear when the grandmother who lives right next door goes, "No, I've been eating cannabis brownies for 2 years now, and my shoulder feels good enough to play tennis." Suck it, Big Pharma. That's what you're afraid of. You're afraid that once people try this, they're going to go, why the fuck would I want to be on opiates when I've got this choice, finally, legally, and my tax money stays here, and it's grown here, and it's not controlled here, and it's not, I can't OD on it, and it's removing street crime. Finally. We let this play a couple of seconds, then we're going to get to the states. I thought this guy did a really good pitch on how quickly. Sometimes when I watch media, if I get to 7, 8, 9 minutes, I'm like, man, you could have tightened this up to a 4-minute piece and you would have just nailed it. You would have absolutely brought all that info to me. And one of these guys is hit that piece. And hang on a second. I'm going to let this play a couple more minutes, and then I got this guy line. Okay, I do have it. Good, good, good.
So this comes from the facility we were just at?
Yes, sir.
And this is your store?
Now he's out in the store in the front. You know, it's like going to the baker or going to the butcher shop. It's like all behind glass and presented professionally. I want that. Want those fucking choices in my life. I'm so sick and tired of the paranoia. It's dying.
This is my store.
Are you going to vote for marijuana? It's on the ballot in November.
Yeah, I am planning on it.
Which way are you going to vote? For legalization or against?
Legalization. Mm-hmm.
And what about for president? Are you going to vote for president?
That's a tough one. I mean, are we talking politics here or weed?
So you think you'll vote for...
I love that. She's cutie pie, too. by the way.
Weed and not for president?
Yeah.
Really?
Both of them aren't really my first choice.
So. What you meant to say is, I consider voting for either one of those the equivalent of a nice 60 to 90 second cat hair being coughed up by an old sick cat. One of those videos. That's how I feel about voting for either of those people. Uh-oh. I might just have to find one and play its audio.
Oh, Bernie Sanders, if he was still up, I would definitely vote for him.
Full recreational legalization's on the ballot. Are you going to go out and vote for that?
Yes, yes, yes.
And are you going to vote for president as well?
No.
I ain't getting none of that shit on my hands. Is it amazing? See, I think two things. One, I don't trust the system at that level anymore anyway. Okay, I don't. It's far too easy to manipulate the TV polls. It's far too easy to manipulate the TV voices and anchor people giving you the official results. I have no idea. Unless all of us can crawl inside all those counting machines and voting machines and verify what we're being told. I'm sorry, I lost my ability to believe that in about 2005 when MIT showed that they could hack a voting machine and connecting voting machines in 5 minutes. But I still believe that if you have enough of a wave of change for something locally, like here in the state of Florida, we need 60%. Right now we're polling at 74%. Then it's hard for the man. What else do I call him? It's hard for the man to swap those numbers. Because we'll say, wait a minute, there's a huge discrepancy here. And that's when you'd get a recount. That's when we'd get the peak at the ballots and trust it. And that's hard to do. You know, I lived through Chadgate in 2000. And the Supreme Court said Mr. Bush is president. I lived through Ohio. Diebold. Kerry. Bowing out gracefully. You know? I watch too many videos of people saying, oh, here's how easy it is to flip from 51 to 49 and so on. And they show you the video and they show you how easy it's done. And then you realize that a lot of these machines are linked and they're linked to networks and those networks are linked to more machines that are linked to more networks. And suddenly all these votes that are piling up Tuesday night, I don't know if I can trust them. I'm just being honest. I really wish I could trust them. But something tells me that that monolith at the top control it all. And I know that sounds like, well, then why even bother? But locally, it gets tougher and tougher. So this guy shows up. He lives in Arizona. You're going to vote, you know, yes to legalize recreational marijuana, right? Yeah. You're going to vote for president? No.
So you're not going to vote for president?
No, I'm not.
You'll vote for weed, but not for president?
Not for presidency, but marijuana, yes.
I got to ask you, how come?
Just personal preference, sir.
And, like, but are you Democrat, Republican?
Democrat.
And so you're not going to vote for Hillary Clinton, but you're going to vote for weed?
Yeah.
When you hear those young people say that they're going to vote for marijuana, but not for Hillary Clinton, that is not something that she wants to hear in this very close swing state, Peter. But the reality is, when you talk to analysts out here, it probably is not going to make the difference in Nevada. It's just, again, not a good sign for Hillary Clinton with young voters. One thing I want to show you real quick, they're actually registering voters here in the medical marijuana dispensaries at the checkout line. So if there's an upside in all of this, new voters might come into the process.
Yeah, we'll know what Nevada.
There you go. I like it. Oh, crap. I know I saved it. Thank God I saved it. Pardon me. While I do a live show. Ooh, oh, shit. Please tell me that's the one I had saved. We'll find out in a second here. First, it's an old woman sipping a cup of coffee, watching a sunrise. Then she's pointing at a shooting star. Then she's being twirled slow motion while she... And then she's reading by many candles to children. And hiking through the woods. And all of this is because she took this magic pill. Magic pill. Just call 888-MAGIC-PILL. And you could be floating too. We had to keep that. We had to.
The legality of marijuana.
Okay. Here's my video. This guy uses a map. So I'll stop and start a little bit. But I love the way he stacks it. He shows you what already exists, what failed to exist. I think he mentions a couple of initiatives that didn't make the ballot and so on and so forth. But it's a good representation of, in about 4.5, we'll probably stretch it out a little bit, to kind of talk about, again, if you're going to change things locally, cannabis is one of these big issues that you can actually have a voice and go out and say, I agree or I disagree, and vote yes or no, and do your thing. But the more voices that show up, the more we're starting to take our power back by being aware, by paying attention. This is why I kind of focused on 2008. This is why I talk about 9/11. Little wake-up moments where more and more people are like, listen, this game's rigged, and more people are paying attention to it, but can we change things at that level? Maybe not yet, but can we change things at our level? Yes, and that's why the cannabis issue is really becoming, it's going to set the example. It's going to let people know, hey, when we wanted to change things about cannabis, look at how many people voted and look what happened. Well, that might be fracking next, or that might be solar energy in your community. If you care about changing things, if you care, please vote locally. I don't give a fuck if you don't pay. The top of the food chain is strictly my entertainment at this point. Absolutely. And it is literally hashtag best election ever. EVA. Best election ever. Because this is like the WWF. Never mind the WWE. Because I'm an old guy. I'm like Bob Backlund, Pedro Martinez, Big Chief's Jay Strongbow, Roddy Piper. Yeah, the Grand Wizard, Freddie Blassie. I'm like that old guy. So a lot of us are paying attention for different reasons. All right, I'm going to let this go. It's kind of quick moving, but you know what? I consider a lot of this video very good news. More and more things on the ballots and more states and more freedoms coming our way when it comes to cannabis.
It varies wildly depending on the state. In 22 states, selling or possessing a small amount, even a couple of grams, is a crime that will land you in jail. New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Montana, New Mexico, Arizona, and Hawaii have legalized medical marijuana, but still criminalize personal possession.
How about that? You're allowed to use it, but don't get caught with it. They're like, well, we have to make some money somehow. It is so funny to watch people scratching for the money they used to make. The kind of war on drugs bullshit money. That's what I'm talking about. So yeah, please continue.
On the flip side, possession of small amounts of weed is decriminalized, meaning you pay a small fine if you're caught, in North Carolina, Mississippi, Missouri, and Nebraska. But these states don't have medical marijuana. Possession of small amounts of cannabis is decriminalized and legal.
So those three states don't have medical marijuana, but they won't throw you in jail if you're caught with it, but you will pay a fine. It's like each state is... Well, right now here in the state of Florida, counties in Florida have decriminalized weed. And locally here in the Tampa Bay area, that has happened. So, you know, call it, I don't know, step one or maybe step 0.5. But some of those changes have come, but obviously with medical marijuana being legal in the state of Florida as of next week, and it will be, we're talking probably billion-dollar industry in this state. Ton of sunshine, ton of water, ton of land. Do the math. Watch what happens. A real green renaissance in a subtropical state. We're subtropical down the lower third. We're temperate, I believe, where I live. We were built for weed. Tons of land, tons of sunshine, tons of rain. Watch what happens.
Medical marijuana is available in New York, Illinois, Maine, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, Vermont, Delaware, Maryland, Ohio, Minnesota, Nevada, and California. And the sale, possession, and licensed cultivation of moderate amounts of marijuana is completely legal for adults in Colorado, Washington, Oregon, Alaska, and the District of Columbia.
It's funny when you look at this now, because the last ones they mentioned is the legal cultivation of your own weed. Small amounts, usually like 12 to 24 plants. There's people in California I'm friends with that have, I think they're allowed to grow 24 a year or 24 a season. And they're up there in the Golden Triangle. They've been way ahead of this. They were like, oh, yeah, it's going to be legal here. By then, we'll be moving here. Now we're going to buy a piece of land there. Yeah, how cool is that? Growing their own thing. So, yeah, four states growing their own thing is now legal. But there's that little yellow dot on the right side, right by Maryland and Delaware. What is that? Oh, yeah, that's those fucking assholes in Washington, D.C., who all smoke Grey Chronic, who all probably do substantial amounts of blow, can legally grow their own weed, too. What a kick in the balls that was when that happened last year. I was like, are you kidding me? We can't have medical marijuana in Florida, but in Washington, D.C., some senator who's on the take can have his own grow room. Fuck him. I always thought that was a story that just didn't get enough information. Like, are you kidding me? You people make the laws that we have to jump through your fucking hoops, and guess what? They're like posing for pictures behind their chronic now in their grow rooms, putting it on Twitter. Ah, here's my babies I grew. Senator Jerkoff. That little yellow thing. I had to stop and talk about those assholes. God, that pisses me off. I just want to grow my own legally. That's it. If I live in Washington, D.C., I can grow my own legal weed. But not in Florida. All right, I'm bitching. It's coming. Your train's coming down the track. Here we go. Here's more info.
Critical mass toward nationwide legalization could come if California, the largest state in the country, votes to legalize marijuana this November.
If California does legalize recreational marijuana, the entire West Coast will have legalized recreational marijuana.
Maine, Massachusetts, Arizona, and Nevada will also vote on whether to legalize recreational marijuana this fall.
Okay, there you go. Already you've got Oregon, Washington State, and Colorado. They're yellow, as in you're good to go. You're completely allowed recreational weed. Now, three of the five states are right next to them, Arizona, Nevada, California. And they're really saying that it surprised me how long it took California to okay their thing, unless they were worried about the gold rush of land, because once it's legal to grow, watch the amount of people purchasing real estate in that relative upper latitude, Northern California, the upper third, because of the combination of it being right off the Pacific, the air moisture, the altitude at which it's at, and of course the latitude on planet Earth that it's at, is really kind of like the same thing they've got in Afghanistan. And that's why that weed grows so healthy there. And remember earlier I was talking about the outdoor growers. There's going to be such an influx of really good, diverse, different kinds of outdoor weed, not because of Joe Warehouse, who grows one strain and, you know, makes nothing but clones. No, there's going to be a guy who's going to grow 24, but he's going to grow like six of each, you know? And he's going to be known for his killer sativa that might even help you stay up and study for a test. It's just such a jittery little high. And then he might say, listen, you know, I understand you haven't been sleeping since your dad passed. Here, this is nighttime stuff. This is going to give you some good, solid sleep. And, you know, that's going to be medicine, choices, options, money, local, farmers, stays local, locally banked, hopefully, smart people. By the way, yes, their biggest struggle right now is the banks, because a lot of their banks can't legally take their money because it's a Schedule I drug. And nationally, the banks would get in trouble. You know that story. But that is also a story where banks are all going to do it. They're just waiting for enough people to start doing it. And then they'll just do it. And then eventually, you know, what's the government going to do? Close down a third of its banking systems because those banking systems want to, quote, finally, legally funnel drug money in our country for the first time. Now, I know it's been done locally and with cash, and there are some, you know, areas in California, you know, I know there are some communities where the drug money sits in someone's bank and no one looks the other, people look the other way. But I'm talking about being able to go in with a Visa account number because you run ledgespotemporium.com and you're just about to put your weed up on the weed stock exchange. I think it's in Chicago, the brand new one. Do you see what I'm talking about taking place here? You want to talk about a boom? You want to talk about jobs and the relaxation of fear? Cops being able to actually, I don't know, chase more hardened criminals? The wave that cannabis is going to create in our country is really going to help bring us together. Not in some spiritual way. Maybe it will, but that's maybe a topic for a deeper conversation. If you subscribe to that kind of stuff, you know I do, but not everybody does. But I'm just talking about what's happening. It's pretty neat. It's happening in our time. And I know if you watch back and you watch the History Channel and you watch all those things, I have a tendency to, I watched Oliver Stone's Untold History of the United States. Great documentary. I think it was like 10 one-hour pieces, something like that. Great storytelling. But what I had realized by the time I got to the end of it, that change is always taking place. You know, if you defined a Democrat back during World War II, compare it to a Democrat now, they wouldn't even compare, as well as a Republican. So all these changes are constantly taking place, but these are the kind of changes that can create revenue, taxes, jobs. Look what Colorado's already doing with their money. It's amazing. And it's just going to be an influx. It's going to be an amazing influx. And we're just getting started on this video. I know I'm kind of going long today. Good. You can tell I haven't done a show in 3 weeks. I want to be like the Energizer Bunny. And I'll finally go like, okay, that's it. I'm done. But I'm not done. Check it out.
All Arkansas, Florida, Montana, and North Dakota will also vote this November on whether to legalize medical marijuana. And medical pot ballot initiatives could still qualify in Missouri and Oklahoma.
I think Missouri failed. This video was done a little while ago, and I don't know. I might be wrong, but I thought I remember reading that one of the initiatives didn't make the ballot.
According to the federal government's Controlled Substances Act, marijuana remains a Schedule I drug, the same classification as heroin, LSD, and ecstasy. This means pot is considered more dangerous than cocaine, methamphetamine, and OxyContin. The federal government no longer conducts raids on dispensaries in states where medical marijuana or recreational marijuana is legal as long as they are complying with the law. But because marijuana is still illegal on the federal level, marijuana businesses don't have easy access to the banking system, forcing many to pay armed guards to transport huge sums of cash around.
This is you're actually going to see a commercial. They're actually going to play a piece of a commercial. But the point I want to make is that is what's holding back big time investment. You can't be some billionaire that's going to go, you know what, I'm going to throw about $600 million into the new cannabis thing. Boom, you know, you do your thing because you're a big old mogul. And the thing is, being able to do that also makes the fact that there's banks involved. Well, right now the banks can't be involved. So there's no, you're not going to have anybody sink a lot of money in it if he thinks it's going to get trucked around in the back of like this guy's truck. It's kind of a funny little ad. But this is right now, this is the level. It's like Wells Fargo. Okay? It's like back in the day, we were all gold miners and the Wells Fargo wagon would pick up your gold and transport your gold because there were no banks and blah, blah, blah. Well, that's how weed is right now. It's like the wild, wild west where they got to pay everybody in cash. And you have this guy and this TV ad.
And that's where companies like Blue Line Protection Group come in. They safeguard the cash and the weed and help entrepreneurs move from the black market into the light.
So it's basically two big guys with guns and a steel truck full of weed and cash. Yeah, I want to invest. Oh, man, it's funny, though. You know, just to watch the guy close the back door, and he's got his big one guy's got a shotgun. Looks like he's straight out of a prison movie. That's right, we're badass. Nobody fucks with Flora's weed. It's like she's got these little, "Hi, are you having problems sleeping? I'm Flora. Please come to my dispensary, and I will take you to magical places." Meanwhile, the guy guarding her cash is going like, "Up against the wall, motherfucker!" That's the weed industry. So it's not where it's going to be. It's got its own stock exchange now. It's got its own investment groups telling people to put their money into cannabis companies and people that produce cannabis, cannabis products, cannabis processors, the whole thing. And it's blowing up big. It's a good thing.
Another problem with the tax and regulation method of legalization is that the restricted number of dispensaries limits competition and keeps pot more expensive than it otherwise would be. And the 21-year-old age limit leaves most college-aged adults without safe, easy access to legal pot.
So basically, what are they suggesting? Okay, you can't put your money in banks. Okay. Okay, that's the first thing. Now listen.
The method of legalization is that the restricted number of dispensaries limits competition.
There's only a few places you can get it.
And keeps pot more expensive than it otherwise would be. And the 21-year-old age limit leaves most college-aged adults without safe, easy access to legal pot.
Or if you're 20 years or younger, gee, I wonder if you smoke weed. You're fucked! So what does that lead you to?
Those are the main reasons why a healthy black market for marijuana still exists, even in states that have legalized completely, like Colorado and Washington.
Boom. Even in Colorado, there's a black market for weed because there's always going to be customers that can't qualify for a card. And a couple of the examples you heard right there. Now, there's always been a black market. There's always a black market. Doesn't matter what the product is. There will always be one of those. Someone trying to circumvent the process, profit from the process, undermine the process, bankrupt the process, or good old compete with the process if it's a free market. So the more legalization you see, you might see some restraints at first. People talk to me about this, and I agree. Yeah, it sucks that, you know, there's only going to be, let's say, 10 dispensaries, or only 5 companies can officially grow now, and they had to pay, you know, $500,000 for their license. Okay, well, that's the same thing that they do to liquor and tobacco, so you better fucking get used to it. Because we're going to play on their monopoly board. But what it does mean is now you've already kicked in the door for medicinal. And they're going to make money. And that's what they're going to care about. They're not going to care about you and recreational weed. They never have. They're going to go like, okay, we got this big a slice of the rec weed. I'm sorry, of the medicinal weed. Now we're going to put this on a ballot in 2 years. It's just the same big controlling groups making sure they're going to get their slice of the pie. And that's suddenly how the doors bust open. No. That's how they start to capitulate because they realize, well, gee, what are the effects on 300 million people that might sample more cannabis and less alcohol? Maybe there's less depression. Maybe there's less violent acts and abuse at the home. Maybe there's more legitimate jobs. Maybe there's less street crime. And it goes right on down the line. So I get it. You used to buy your weed. Now you'll have to pay some taxes on it. I get that. I do. But you know what? This is going to lead to what Colorado has now. Even more greedy people in a very big state full of lots of cannabis smokers and people that want to grow with plenty of land and plenty of sunshine. And we'll pay our little tax stamp. To get our, I'll pay my little, hey, well, you want to grow again this year, Ledge? Yep. How many plants? I want to grow 24. Okay, that's going to cost you $240, $10 a plant, just for the license. But you know what? At the end of the day, I'm smoking my own weed. I control my own product. I don't sell it. I'm not a dealer. There's no drug dealers anymore. There's just a bunch of people out there getting their freak on, curing their cancer, changing their life, quit drinking, meditating, feeling physically better. So it's not just, oh, we're going to be able to smoke it. And it's the chain of events it's going to trigger is one of the big capitulations of the rich, because hemp is right behind it. And that means the community could grow their own, a farmer could grow his own fuel. Think of that. Big farmer, 100 acres of land, normally buying his diesel fuel. Oh, no, I grow my own diesel now. I just grow, I take about 30 acres of my hemp, gives me about 200 and blah, blah, blah. You know, you just do the math, that kind of thing. That's freedom for that farmer. And by the way, if you're growing hemp and turning it into fuel, that's kind of like a good thing because you're going to burn it. But yeah, you grew the CO2, you grew the plant, and it sucked in the CO2. I'm not against potable fuels. I just think they should be grown rather than dug from the earth at this point. So yeah, this pot capitulation is, it's going to create the wave where people see, hey, I turned out to vote. It was local. It was very hard for them to rig because last week it was polling at 74%. We only need 60. Now, if they're going to flip the machines, that means it's got to obviously go all the way in the other direction, okay, by 14 points. That means it has to go to 36%. That's just that's like something, an anomaly you could drive a truck through. And that will declare, like I said earlier, a recount. So I believe in voting locally, and I believe it can still make a change as far as the circus at the top. I believe it's all a big pony show now, and whatever button I press on the magic machine doesn't fucking matter one way or the other. I do believe that. I wish I didn't, but I do. All right, a little bit more of him.
For those who thought legalizing marijuana would eliminate or at least cripple the black market, think again.
Yeah, it's actually benefited the black market. Prices are going up. Like, it was plummeting for years. Like, since 2009, they were going cheaper and cheaper and cheaper until January. That's when all the dispensaries that went recreational skyrocketed in price.
The good news is that legalization is cutting out a major source of income for violent gangs and drug cartels. The amount of marijuana crossing into the U.S. from Mexico is estimated to be half of what it was 6 years ago.
Nice. Absolutely. I don't know who's died for that, but that's always a good sign. It's kind of funny. I think this is the report where he says, I think it's flowing from us to them. Now we're growing it here and importing it into Mexico. Ah, it's just a better crop.
And with U.S. and Canadian growers now able to legally produce high-quality product, there's evidence that marijuana is now being smuggled south into Mexico. Criminals have been adapting by switching to heroin and meth production. With over half of American voters now supporting marijuana legalization and 65% of young people, the days...
I have to read this. In 1969, 12%... of America said they were in favor of legalizing marijuana. 73, it was 16%. In 77, it jumped to 28%. But then it came back down in the cocaine 80s to 23%. And then it incrementally grew from 25 to 31 to 37 to 44. That was in 2009. And 2013, it jumped all the way to 58%. And today it's jogged up a couple years later up to 59. So we're almost at 60% of Americans are in favor of legalizing cannabis. And it from 2000 to 2015, it doubled. That's the internet. That's not your local TV stations changing your mind about something. That's you doing your own research, watching your own documentaries, going on social media and sharing that information, some of the science that's coming out. Just posted an article the other day that The Lancet had just done a story about THC's effects, positive effects, on reversing Alzheimer's, something to do with the fats that form on the brain. THC is their enemy. Early studies, but yeah, also what we call magic mushrooms or shrooms are being used in clinical studies. That means a measured dose in a hospital setting. You're going through therapy to help treat depression. And the first study was pretty much out of the park. Amazing. I think it was about 24 people. They had all had depression at least 17 years of their life. They had all used antidepressants and were still suffering depression. They had dosed. I didn't read the dosings for, in other words, how big, for how long, and for what the duration of months or weeks it was. But they all reported their depression lower. They were feeling better. And it was 3 months later, and they were still reporting in. So expect to see a lot more studies with depression, psilocybin, and its positive effects on the brain. Why? Yeah. Not CNN. They're usually about 4 years behind everybody else, like Sanjay Gupta. He saw all the money starting to flow to cannabis in the conversation, and suddenly he was cool with it. Where before, he was like, whoa, you know. It's like he can't, he's like a doctor. And he was like, oh, I never saw the positive studies. I'm like, I had Google. Didn't you? Didn't you hear about it? So anyway, more people, 59%, 2015. This has been a wonderful rant. Just keeps going. You know, like this show's been, it's like been the slow flow of lava out of my mouth. That's what it feels like. That's what it sounds like. That's what I'm just going to run out of gas any second now. It's going to be fun. But yeah, solar energy here in Florida. Why is it taking so long? Tallahassee. Pot? Well, you do have older people, but now all those older people down here are on painkillers and they want to get off them because they're fucking up their life horribly. And that's not good. That's not good. All right. Oh, wait a minute now. I thought I had North Dakota up here. Oh, damn it. All right, let me look. I got to look real quick. Talk amongst yourselves. Come on, recently bookmarked. Oh, no. Ah, shit. I had a real good video about Standing Rock. And I thought I clicked save. Well, I cleared out all my tabs. Someone in the computer universe, help me, please. By the way, the show's over. That's just my way of saying, you know what? Time to hang it in. Hang it up. Hang on a second. Can you tell them just completely ran out of gas? That's awesome. I was just like, blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah. And this, blah. All the whole show. I don't think I moved more than like 5 inches in any direction. I did lift my hand up on the mouse, though. Hang on a second. Son of a bitch. Hate that. Just hate that. Blah, blah, blah. Now, see, right now is where most people, like, will edit their show. But now it's the after party. Oh, yeah, this place is jumping. I can hear it in the background. Here. An empty beer. Oh, man, let me see. If your name is Lita Thomas, I have no idea who you are, so I'm not going to answer you. I just don't want to hit the stop button. I want it to be like track 13 on your CD when the song ends and there's nothing and you just don't get up. And like 5 minutes later, a song starts and you never knew it was there. Or that could have been the end of the show right there. Or that. I just don't want it to end. It's like being in my senior year, you know, having to say goodbye to my sweetheart on the beach, knowing we were going to go our separate ways. I don't know, there was something about that magical moment I'll never forget. And this is not it. This here. This is just me not wanting to, wait a minute, find the stop button, and all I got to do.